It's a gray, drizzly Monday in rural Franklin County, Missouri. For farmers, it's the kind of weather that's more suited to catching up on books and fixing machinery than working in the fields. University of Missouri agronomist Matt Herring winds his Pontiac through the county's hilly back roads. He's on his way from the Agricultural Extension Office in downtown Union to a farm in the Missouri River bottomlands near the town of Labadie. He pauses and points to an enormous mound of sand about a mile in the distance, an unmistakable reminder of what happened here in 1993.
I remember going out with farmers, and I described it as a moonscape. It really looked like a moonscape because there was all this sand. It was barren. There was nothing growing, and it just, you'd see a tree trunk or here's a piece of metal, just debris.
Herring turns up the gravel driveway leading to Marvin Newman's place.
How are you?
Well, I couldn't be better, no matter what.
Newman farms more than 1,000 acres near the river. When levees broke in 93, the Missouri took over about a tenth of his land. The water was only one problem. The swollen river brought with it dead trees and other debris, but also ton after ton of sand, several feet of it in some places. Newman says no soybeans or corn grew that year, and the cleanup work seemed endless.
We hauled with a 16-yard scraper, with a 10-yard scraper tied behind it, and we could unload, make a round trip, get a load, take it up on the pile, dump it about every 10 minutes, and at the end of the day, you couldn't even see that you had done anything.
It took Newman and several of his farm hands several years to get all of the sand scraped up. 1995 brought another flood, and now their giant sand pile is topped by a few young trees. Marvin Newman did not have crop insurance, but says emergency disaster payments helped offset fuel costs for the heavy equipment he used to scrape up the sand. Producers who take out crop insurance usually get it to protect against drought, and in 1993, not many farmers in flood-prone areas had it. Rebecca Davis works for the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Risk Management Agency, an arm of the federal government that backs crops to the tune of $38 billion a year. She says few Missouri farmers had policies in the year they needed them most.
From 1993 in Missouri, we were ranging from around 11 to 20% participation rate. And after 93, Congress looked at the crop insurance program and made some major changes to it. We had our first major reform in over 10 years right after the 93 floods.
To make crop insurance more attractive to farmers, Davis says, Congress increased subsidies for coverage. In the year after the Great Flood, the government paid about a third of the cost of the most comprehensive policies. In the years since, subsequent changes have increased the government's share of those policies closer to 60%.
73, we thought we had seen some historic moment. 93 opened a lot of people's eyes.
That's Jim Bethman, who along with his family grows corn and soybeans in northern St. Charles County, where the Mississippi River takes a sharp turn before it picks up the Missouri. As a young farmer, he waded through fields during 1973's record floods and thought crop insurance would be a good idea.
Naturally, I had it all the way through into the 93, and I won't do without it. We have had bad experiences, and we know we're in lower lands, so I myself carry one of the heavier policies.
Crop insurance and disaster payments made 93 a break-even year for Bethman, even though the Mississippi swelled 6 miles wide across his land. But contrary to some accounts, he says, farmers didn't get rich on government handouts. Unlike farmers along the Missouri, Bethman had mainly river debris to pick up. The Mississippi left behind a layer of fine silt, not sand, and his crop yields were back to normal the next year. If weather is one thing farmers keep a close eye on, commodity prices are another. Martin Foreman is an economist for Doane Agricultural Services, a St. Louis-based firm that publishes agricultural trade journals. With millions of acres of prime Midwestern farmland underwater in 1993, Foreman says overall U.S. corn production was down about a third.
The markets initially kind of looked past the flooding, but it really didn't start to respond pretty significantly. significantly till September. And then once we actually started harvesting the crop and realized just how bad yields were is when the market really took off.
Low supplies made corn prices skyrocket, which producers usually like if there's something to sell. The government stepped up other plans to help flooded farmers after 1993. Since then, measures including the USDA's Emergency Wetland Reserve Program have spent nearly $93 million in Missouri alone to take about 100,000 acres of bottomland out of production. Part of that has been turned into the Big Muddy National Fish and Wildlife Refuge near Columbia. Even though participation is up to individual landowners, the Missouri Farm Bureau is wary of the plans, saying the return of too many acres to nature takes good land out of production. Weighing risk and reward are challenges all small business owners face, but when the river is boss, farmers face even tougher choices. Again, Marvin Newman.
I had a friend from Illinois who came over and stood in one place, and he said, "Marvin, you know what I'd do if it was mine?" And I said, "No, Roger, what would you do?" He said, "I'd run off and leave it." If it happened again today, I don't think I got enough steam to go after it. I just couldn't tackle it. It was just too big of a mess.
So with 1993 an ever-present reminder of the worst of times, why grow anything in a floodplain? Farmers say the ground is fertile, growing crops is far less risky than building shopping centers and office parks, and managing the uncertainties is just a fact of life along the river. For KWMU, I'm Matt Sepik.